Thank you for making that effort. But before we start our sermon today, there are some people who are fond of writing off other people. But God will write you on. Amen? The psalmist said, because God has given me life, so God has signed you on. You can go with me to Psalm 103, verse 4, and hear what I'm trying to tell you. When other people write you off, God signs you on. I love it. Look at verse 4. You can start from verse 3. Who forgives all your sins and heals you, all your diseases? Who redeems you, your life, from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? When other people write you off, God writes you on. Let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are glad you have given us a new lease of life. We've got joy, Father, when other people write us off, you write us on. So this morning, Heavenly Father, when we are here to hear your word and worship you, Father, that's a sign that you have signed us on. We are glad. Father, open our inner hearts and help us to receive the wisdom that comes from your word. The reading that we have just heard, that you are a Father who gives the best gifts. So, Father, we want to glorify your name and lift you on high for who you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving this opportunity to us to come and worship you. Let the Holy Spirit be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's nice to be in the house of the Father. Amen? Amen. Some people have failed to make it, not because they're not well, but they were assuming because the weatherman had predicted that it's going to be snow throughout. Yes, still, I can see as I look outside, my car is almost covered in snow now. But praise God, we are here because God loves us. Amen? The Bible reading that we have just read this morning prompted me to call my sermon today. One of the best of the year, though we are still in January. I want to tell you a story. It was one sunny day, a grandfather thought, well, let me catch a nap. As usual, you know, grandfather, we weren't catching a nap with our grandchildren playing around. So when he caught a nap, the grandchild, the son, had one up his sleeve. When he caught a nap, the grandson brought something to his moustache and put it under there. So as the granddad was snoring, in the middle of his sleep, he smelled something and he woke up, started shouting at the top of his voice, "This room stinks! This room stinks!" As he was walking out throughout the house, he was shouting at the top of his voice, "This whole house stinks! This world stinks!" And the little boy was laughing because he knew what he had done. The grandfather didn't notice that the smell was coming from underneath his nose. As grandpa was experiencing this smell, as I was also reading this text and putting these things together, I came up with one thing. 95 out of 100. The problem is not with others or with the world. The problem is... Amen. I'm glad you say that. So, I decided that this sermon today will be entitled, The Need to Change Our Attitudes. Amen? The need to change our attitudes. Because the grandpa didn't know that the smell was coming from underneath his mustache, but he was blaming the world. So I'm saying today, we need to change our attitudes from negatives to positives, so that this world will not be stinging. Attitudes need to be changed. There's a saying that say, altitudes, not aptitudes, determines one's attitudes in life. Jesus, at the beginning of this chapter 11, He was observed by his disciples. He was praying. I wonder which one of those disciples was observing. Because usually when we pray, we close our eyes, isn't it? I believe it's only the Roman Catholic who don't close their eyes. But most people close their eyes. Now, which disciple was this one who observed Jesus Christ? He's praying. He's not mentioned. But that prompted them to say, we want to learn more. Yes? The second point the disciples had gained here was a positive one. Because they saw him praying. At the back of their mind, if you listened as Janiyah was reading, these disciples, who is not mentioned here, he said, John taught his disciples how to pray. So this disciple wanted them to be taught the proper way to pray, not the Jewish way. Because if John taught his disciples, that was not the praying from heaven. Jesus now brought the praying that is wanted in heaven. So there's a comparison here. Teach us how to pray. John taught his disciples. So this disciple didn't want that type of praying. He wanted the proper way of praying. Hence, he says, teach us how to pray. I'm glad this disciple changed his attitude. Living the Jewish way of praying, wanting the proper way. So have you tried to pray on your own? I'm not getting statistics here, but I'm only speaking. How many times do you pray per day? How many times do you pray per week? How many times do you pray per year? On your own, don't count the church. On your own. If you haven't, there is a point here to change attitudes. Because praying is speaking to your father. If you are in a home situation, if the father and son or father and daughter are not talking to each other, something has gone wrong in that house, isn't it? So I think they need to call their minister. If you come to this church, please call me. I need to do some counseling lessons there. If the father and son are no longer talking to each other, call me. If the mother and daughter are not talking to each other, call me. So definitely, there is a point here the disciples were making. We want to learn to speak to our father. What has come through that we've stopped speaking to our father? I want to know. So, attitudes. If we are not speaking to our father, there's an attitude that we are developing. Yes, this particular passage has been preached for 2,000 years. If I'm right. Today, we are not looking at the Lord's Prayer, as some people call it. I know you have learned that several times. But how many of you have been told in this particular passage about attitudes? I don't think a lot. But I decided to bring it because as we read in here, we will see how these attitudes develop. So it was my idea that let us remind each other we need to change our attitudes. We need to speak to our Father. Let me say something. Truly speaking, we need to change our attitudes when it comes to prayer. God knows your inside. He knows your outside. He knows what you need. But he wants you to talk to him. Amen? I'm talking to someone this morning. Talk to your father. He's waiting for you to talk to him. But if your attitudes haven't changed, you can't talk to him. Attitudes can make you lose friends. Attitudes can make you have enemies. Attitudes can make you lose your job. Attitudes can make you successful. Attitudes can make you unsuccessful. If you've been on a train some other time, you find someone sitting on the other side of the seat and he's putting his legs on the other side. You can see other people are looking for a place to sit, but he still remains with his legs on there. Several times when I've jumped on the train, I find such people on the train. What an attitude. Just trying to build walls around yourselves. You don't want other people to be closer to you. These are some of the things that we do in life. But as Jesus was praying, one of his disciples observed him. That prompted them to request Jesus to teach them to, how to pray. The Bible says Jesus was in the habit of praying. In this story, it says he was in a certain place praying. When he had finished praying, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Get that right? Lord, teach us how to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. May you pick this point and be aware of it. It's no longer the tradition of the Jewish way of praying that we are looking for here, as I've already said. We need to learn the type of prayer that the Lord is going to teach us today. The Lord is teaching us about a corporate prayer. We do not follow the Jewish tradition anymore. The corporate prayer taught by the Master himself is for all of us to follow. In this teaching, Jesus taught through the parable, which brings some hidden facts in it. In that prayer, when he was teaching his disciples, there's no individualism in there. If you look on verse 3, it says, "Give us our bread." It doesn't give me my bread. Yes? Give us our. So it's a corporate prayer for all of us. So there's no more individualism here. You know, my dear wife, when you are praying, don't pray for yourself. Pray for your husband as well. Amen? So I'm preaching to someone this morning. If you are fond of praying for yourself, today you've got to change your attitude. Pray including other people as well. Mike, when you are praying, even silently, include Barbara in your prayer. That's why you find every morning here when we gather in this church, before we start our service, there's a prayer session. You've got to ring God on his mobile phone and speak to him before the service. Speak to your father. Why are you afraid of speaking to him? But as we carry on, in verse 7 of our text, I want you to notice the attitude of a friend in this house. I do not think that is the right attitude of a good friend. If friends behave in such a way, personally, I don't need them. What's the purpose of a friend when they don't save you in a time of need? If we look at this whole scenario, this friend came asking for bread. Nothing else, nothing more. But what does the friend say? "Do not bother me. My children and me are in bed." I don't know where the wife was, but that shows attitudes. "Don't bother me. My children and me have retired in bed." But usually when someone knocks at your door, what's the first response? Even at the middle of the night. No, before you open the door, it's pitch black at night. Very good. The first thing you do is you ask, "Who is it?" And then what's wrong? Okay. So this friend, what was supposed to do? A good friend. "Who is it?" I'm knocking at John's house. "Oh, John, is Gilson." "Oh, Gilson, what has happened?" "John, I want some bread. I've got visitors." Wasn't it appropriate for John, before he opens the door, with the bread in his hands, "Friend, there you are." But instead, the friend says, "Don't bother me." What an attitude. Carry on, Phyllis. Right. Right, before I go ahead to illustrate what I want to illustrate on attitudes, can I have someone up front here, please? Anyone? Yes. Right. Thank you for coming. Right. You see, this jar is full.
Well, nearly full.
Yes, but we can say it's full.
Yes.
Right. What I want you to do is, I want to shake it. Right? With your utmost power. Yes, please.
Are you sure that's all right near the bread?
Well, come closer here. Yeah? Shake it.
Shake
no, don't lift it up. Shake it the way it is. Shake the... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. You can... Yes. That is what I wanted. All right. Yes. Right. You saw that jar is full of water. Is that right? Whether if there was a lid, if it was not tight enough, if you shake it, what comes out of it? Why is water coming out of it? I didn't hear that. No, don't worry about the lid. I heard someone there. Because it's full. Thank you. Because that jug is full of water. So, what comes from inside is what we see outside, isn't it? Because you are full of attitudes already. You are only waiting to be shaked. When you are shaked, what's inside comes outside. This goes on to say what Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 34. Jesus said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Yes? What we see outside is what's inside. It's not starting that day that because this friend has got a friend who is coming to ask bread. Just bread. Don't bother me. So Christ here, he was picking up at the attitudes. A friend of mine said at college, when I heard this passage being preached the other time, he said, "Kilson, there is 1,000 passages, sermons coming out of this passage. Some will be basing it on the Lord's Prayer. Others can say something." I have proved his statement today, what he was telling me. I thought he was kidding. I didn't even pick the idea of attitudes until I wanted to preach on it. I said, oh, there's an idea of attitudes there. A friend, a true friend, you don't even ask what time of the night it is. But in today's life, if he had come to someone's house and the husband is at night shift and there's only the wife is at home, what will the neighbors say? I tell you, the neighbors will say, there must be an affair going on there. Because midnight, you go and knock someone's house and the husband is at work. Even if it's genuine type that you want bread, when the neighbors see you, they will class you as the wrong person. But anyway, there's something also coming out of that time of visiting. This guy lost off all his shamefulness. Do you agree with me? He forgot about all his shamefulness. All the embarrassments, he took them under the carpet. Jesus is pointing at that point. That forget about your shamefulness when you want something from your father. He is your father. So why are you afraid to call him? Go to your father anytime with your requests. Speak to your father. You know, sometimes when you are praying, you can have a feel when you are praying. Sometimes I shed tears when I'm praying. I forget about all my shamefulness. You can ask my wife, she will tell you. When sometimes I'm praying, it does happen naturally. I find myself crying because I'm speaking to my father. So don't be ashamed of what you're doing. If it's a midnight, those of you who want that solitude of trying to be on their own, nighttime is the best to listen to the voice of God. Midnight, when the world is at peace, when there isn't much going on, is the best time to pray. When you hear those dreams when God wants to speak to you, it's not during the day. God speaks to you during the night. So Jesus say, throw away that shamefulness that we have. Oh, this is not my class. I cannot be seen praying in public. I'm proud about the Muslims. I'm not trying to make you a Muslim. Right? When it's time for Ramadan or their prayer, even in the middle of Norway, they start praying. When the time is over, they finished. They have thrown away their shamefulness because of their father. But anyway, I want to say the Muslims, there's only one proper religion. this one, isn't it? I hope there's no Muslim here. But I'm saying, their standard and their way of praying pleases me. I wish the Christians will do the same as well. Let's throw away our shamefulness when it comes to the things of God. Let's throw away our shamefulness when we want to speak to our Father. Because He knows what we need anyway. Do you agree with me? He knows our needs anyway. Do you agree with me? All He wants is us to call Him. Be it midnight, whatever time it is. In the book of Mark, Jesus said, God is Abba. He is your Abba as well. From this scene of prayer, Lord, teach us how to pray. I will say, Lord, teach us to call your Father, our Father. Call Him Abba, because He is your Father as well. There is a degree of intimacy here. Because if someone is not related to you, you don't have that closeness with them. So God is our Father. So intimacy is being improved and increased here. It can only be increased when we want to pray. Amen? So if you don't want to pray, or if you have never prayed, from today, please learn how to pray. Because we are talking to your Father. By that, you will be increasing that intimacy with your Father. But if you are not, there is a gap happening there. Yes? The character of God makes Him our refuge. The psalmist says, He is my refuge. He is my strength in time of trouble. There are some people who are ashamed of God. There are some people who are ashamed of calling God when they're in trouble. I am not ashamed. That is why the disciples on my behalf asked, Lord, teach us how to pray so that we know how to call our Father. You know, there are some people who don't know my mobile number. So if they phone the number at the men's and they can't get me, they're stuck. But for those who know my mobile number, when they can't get me at the men's, they call the mobile number. Yes? Because they want to speak to me. So if you don't know God's mobile number, you don't know how to pray. God's mobile number is, you must learn how to pray. Simple. You don't need any digits there. Learn how to pray. Then you can speak to your Father. When we maintain our intimacy, as the model prayer has been said, it talks about the respect of God and respect of God's kingdom. This relates to God's kingdom, not ours. God doesn't need MOTs. We need MOTs. Amen. So, because you need an MOT, you need to maintain that relationship. If you are rude or not respecting God, how is He going to give you your MOT? Your car is going to fail your MOT. So, we need to maintain that relationship. And for you to get that MOT, you need to remain speaking to God. And it's not about individualism. Numbers do count as well. That's why Jesus says somewhere in Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name. I mean, they are millions. So numbers do count, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Right, another point that Jesus is raising. He has raised 2 points already. He has raised attitudes and shamefulness. And now He's raising the third point, persistence. Yes? Jesus shows the way how to persist, even at midnight, for the things of God. Sometimes those who have experience, they call at midnight, they don't stop. So here Jesus is saying, persist. If the friend hadn't persisted, he was not going to get bread. He started by walking, and then when he got there, he knocked. Not only once, he knocked again until he got the answer. Yes? If we compare the two model prayers in Matthew and Luke, I want you to notice something. The one in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus emphasizing forgiving others. That's Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. But if we look at the one in Luke, we see the importance of persistency. Are you with me? But before one becomes persistent in prayer, he must learn how to pray. How can you persist on something that you don't know how to do it? Lord, teach us how to pray. Then when we've been taught how to pray, then we can persist. And this idea of persistence is actually emphasized and implied by the use of the present tense. Hear what Jesus says. He says, ask, seek, and knock. He doesn't say, knocked, or will knock. Jesus is saying, knock, seek. Yes? In reality, it starts by asking. Teach us how to pray. When we've learned how to pray, then we'll begin to seek. When we arrive at the destination, we start knocking. But when we fail to get the answer, we carry on knocking and persist in prayer. Maybe that is one reason why our prayers are not being answered. We are not persistent. We don't know how to pray. We've got attitudes. Amen. I'm speaking to someone this morning. Banish those attitudes. Learn how to pray and be persistent. In this issue of persistence, Jesus says, remember whom we are asking. Yes? You are not asking Gilson. You are not asking your neighbor. You are asking God who created you, who molded you in your mother's womb. Amen. And before you were even born, he forgave your sins. Ah, this is my God. I don't know about yours, but this God is a marvelous God. He is a gracious God. That's why he's showing all this to us. He is a gracious God. Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give something good to your children, what about my Father in heaven? What does he give? The Holy Spirit. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, all other things. Reni was speaking about Solomon when she was presiding. Solomon was given wisdom. And all other things were added. Yes? So once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we shake you, Holy Spirit comes out of you. Amen? So when we shake you, we want to see Holy Spirit coming out of you because your Father gives it to you free of charge. He knows what's good for you. Don't bring your shopping list to God. Oh, Lord, I wish if my bank account would be like this. Oh, Lord, I wish if my children would be behaving. Oh, Lord. No, say, Father, you know what's the best for me. Give me the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. And he spoke about a gift of spirit in John 7, verse 37 to 39. And in Acts 2 also, 38 to 39, Peter, he says, repent and be baptized. And you will get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the best thing that you want from your Father because he knows what's the best for you anyway. If the answer has been delayed to you, don't curse God. Some people are fond of doing that. If they ask for something and it doesn't happen their way, ah, where is God? I've been asking for this. He knows what's best for you, my brothers and sisters. What about if he gives you a good house and then the next thing, that house catches fire? He has delayed you to go in that house because he knew if you could go in that house at that moment, you will die because it will catch fire. Maybe you've been praying for you to get a Mercedes Benz. And God gives you a bicycle. He knows what he's doing. Because he's your Father. So he has delayed you having a car because maybe you're going to have an accident. When the time is ripe, God will give you what's appropriate for you. The friend in the story changed his attitude after his friend persisted. Are you persistent in your prayer? These type of attitudes make us lose friends. So we need to learn how and what and when to pray. If we don't know, we need to ask the Master. Jesus taught his disciples what to pray, what to pray for, and how to pray. Are you going to do the same as well? The disciples wanted to learn how to pray. Are you going to learn how to pray as well? Because your Father knows what you need anyway. He can give the best gifts. But Jesus is saying, ask, knock, and seek. Persistently, you will be rewarded. Do you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Peter says, ask, and repent, and be baptized. Let us come together. The Lord's table.